It's kind of like what Camden and Josh said a while ago. I just don't understand, Miss Vicki, what this is all about. That's what the Jews said here. They said, you know, we've been working on this temple for 46 years. How in the world, if we tear it down now, are you going to raise it up in 3 days? Because they were speaking of two different things. Sometimes we have to think about what we're speaking about. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for allowing your servants to be a part of who you are, not only then, but now. Continue, Lord, this day as we, your servants, as we look at your word, as we look at covenants, as we look at laws, and as we look at the new covenant that comes under the law. Be with us now, for it's in your Son's name I do pray. Amen. Old covenants have been destroyed, but yet we have new life under the law. You see, it was a day when sacrificial theology ruled, the time when Jesus preached and taught. Much like a Middle Eastern street market or a busy holiday, American holiday craft fair, the path to the temple was crowded. It was tempting and it was frustrating. Jesus saw worshipers being driven by guilt rather than gratitude. He saw frustration rather than joy. And he saw fatigue rather than renewal as they walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem to the temple. And near the temple, people found vendors trying to convince them to buy beautiful, specially blessed animals for the sacrifices in the temple or to exchange their goods and wares for the acceptable sacrificial coins to donate in the offering that day. You see, it was life under the law in those days of Judaism. Worshippers didn't have much choice if their own animals bore blemishes because they had to bring the perfect one to the altar. Or if their means of making a living didn't include raising animals, that were acceptable for sacrifice in God's holy temple. So Jesus could see that life under the law was destroying lives rather than purifying hearts. In other words, all those rules and regulations of Judaism that had been around for generations it was not causing the people to truly look at their own hearts. They were not looking at what Jesus was trying to teach them. They were still selling favors, they were still selling goods, and they used the front of the temple to do it. Jesus could see that people had become so invested in life under the law that the purchase of temple donations and sacrificial items were more important that day than worshiping his Father and worshiping him. Too many were so obsessed with luxurious trinkets to show their righteousness that they forgot to honor God's temple as a holy place, a place of worship and fellowship. Think about that, if you will, for a moment. If you were to come up to church on any Sunday morning and see people just having a flea market on the front yard lawn and all up the steps and inside, how would that make you feel? What would that make you think about so that you could come into this place and worship? They said, you got to buy your favors here to get inside to do God's will. Well, Jesus did have a fit. And he did make the whip, and he began to drive them out of there because he said, you know, you're not caring about what you're doing. You're not caring about my Father's house because this is a holy place. It is God's temple. You see, but the thing about that is you and I are not all that different from those early worshipers. A group of people who are scared to be together in economic diversity. We may be afraid that little gifts and offerings aren't big enough. Sometimes we do. I hear people say, well, I can't afford to go to church. Come on and sit down. Come on in and have a seat. Come on in and take a part. Come on in and get involved. Come on in and you're here. Or I hear people say, we think that others with more money or fewer responsibilities should pull the weight for us. In other words, I'm not going to do anything. And here's my favorite one. I've heard this one before. Not here, but I've heard it in the past. We hold back a donation until we get our way on an upcoming church project or a doctrinal stance. I've heard people say when they don't like their preacher. I've heard this. Well, we're just going to quit giving our money until they get rid of him or her, until they move them. I'm just tired of that. I just can't put up with it. So we're just going to hold our money. Well, who in the world said it was your money to begin with? They've lost the point because they're thinking more of self and not of God. We do things like that. Such temptations towards selfishness or feelings of inadequacy are a result of letting life under the law guide us. You see, Jesus came to proclaim a new law, not of destruction of the old law, but rather a fulfillment of what God had already given us. He said, this is a fulfillment of the law. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up, he says in verse 19. Not just the temple of Jerusalem, not the temple of God's Ten Commandments, not the temple of modern-day ethics or church rules and regulations, but rather the temple of Jesus himself would be destroyed. His very body, his very life would be destroyed. A prediction that Jesus' disciples struggled to understand. They said, you know, Lord, I just don't understand. I don't quite get it yet. You see, Jesus' body was destroyed so that believers might put to rest guilty hearts, resist temptation to power and judgment, and overcome frustrations with not being good enough. You see, we should not worry about not being good enough. We should not worry about the things of this world. We should get up and come and be a part of God's family. You see, Jesus' body was raised up so that believers might know the joy of life in Christ, the excitement of following God, and the abundance of hearts full of love. You see, those are the pure hearts that God wants for our lives. Those are the pure hearts that people tried to achieve through animal sacrifice or large financial gifts. But pure hearts are given freely and graciously by God through Christ Jesus. You see, that's the new covenant that God has made. That is the new covenant that God has made with you and me. For those who don't know Christ, this is the message that is most needed, that God is waiting to shower that love and freedom that gives us a heart to one another and God abundantly. It gives his heart to us to love one another and God abundantly. How many of us love one another? Mr. Earl talked about this morning in assembly. When he talked about family, who is your family? Do you love your family? Not only that family that you have been born into, that family that you might married into, that family of God, that family that you meet along the way, the family of a neighborhood, a community, the family of a church family. Do you love one another? You see, for those who know Christ, the much-needed message is that a pure heart is assured and God's love is with us no matter what. So no matter what, God's love is with us. You see, life under the law was not a bad thing, because that life under the law promised a new covenant, something good to happen, something good yet to come. And that good yet to come did come. It did happen. It did prepare that place for them. And you know, Jesus came so that you and I could have life and have it eternally. He died upon that cross. He took our sins. And he takes them each and every day so that we don't have to think that we've got to be good enough, better than somebody else, have enough money. I hear excuses about people wanting to come to church, and what is one of the excuses that you hear? Well, I'm going to come to church, preacher, when I get my stuff together. When I get things together, when I get stuff together, I'll get there. I'm working on it. I'm working on getting myself together. Well, let me tell you something. If you're out there working on getting yourself together, and if you're doing it by yourself, guess what? You're going to be working a long time. When you come into the Lord's house, no matter where it's at, no matter if it's this place or one up and down the road, all over Raleigh, Durham, Fayetteville, wherever it might be, If you come into the Lord's house with that expectation each and every time you come, with that expectation of something is going to happen here today, and come in to be a part of it, to come in to receive, but also come in to give as you come into this place. You see your life under God's law through His Son in the new life and the new covenant is going to be the most joy that you can ever think about having in your life. It's going to be the greatest gift that you've ever received, and you're just going to thank Him for years to come. You see, God's love is with us no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. He's there. Let us remember that not only this day, but every day. Let us pray.